busted pencils. That's what it means. Fully leaded education talk. Educated. Educators talking education. Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, Jacob, chairman of the boards. Me, Dr. Tim Slecker. Class is in session. I'm going to take a little bit of a, you know, learning. What does it mean to be in session for class? I'm going to point out for this topic, though, Jacob was essentially our teacher on this, Johnny, he came at this and said, hey, guys, check it out. This is something that's going on. What do you guys think about it? And I got to say that I had to do some learning to actually be ready to come on to this show and start taking, you know, talking about it. So, Jacob, I want to thank you for you being the source of guiding me towards new knowledge.
I'd like to think I do that on every episode, Tim, but especially this week. Thank you very much.
Johnny, what I, you know, it's one of those things that to have, you know, producer Jacob right there, he, you know, quick and ready to go every show. But, you know, what I love too is he's dropping these, hey guys, what do you think about this? And I'm looking at this one and I'm like, okay, I actually love it because we have been talking a lot about, you know, what does it mean to get a post-secondary education, higher education. And we're saying that the trap that has been the kind of idea that, you know, hey, you need to go to college if you want to amount to anything in life. And pointing out that, you know, that was really a stupid kind of mentality to begin with, to say only. And as we're finding out now that, in fact, there are a lot of great opportunities for higher education, more education. So, John, I just kind of, you know, before we dig into the meat of this story, I wanted to put that out there.
Well, Tim, and I just backtrack a little bit myself because I think when we're talking about, and it's exciting, we're burying the lead a little here.
Yeah.
You know, it's an exciting program, local in Wisconsin, that, you know, we're going to talk about today as a kind of pathway from high school to career and the great ways that, you know, we often have talked about the ruts and patterns of, well, you just go to college and you figure it out. And when we say college, Tim, I think you're referring to four-year institutions. Mm-hmm. You're referring to the sort of the unquestioned practice for decades of, well, after high school, what do you do? Well, if you want a stable career and a successful, you know, middle class life in this country, well, you better go get a college degree. And, you know, you ship off at 18 to a four-year institution, which we know in this country is, you know, it includes an exorbitant price tag on it. Ugh. All of our listeners out there who are thinking like, that's what I think, Tim, you're referring to, because more broadly, higher education, and Jacob brought this up over the last couple of weeks. It's, you know, when we looked at some of the data coming out of graduating seniors and the percentage of graduating seniors who feel unprepared for what comes next. And that's not us talking about learning loss. They're not feeling like they didn't get good test scores.
Right.
We're talking about life things. And so we talked about that many people, including educators, like we're products of these patterns of the past. And, you know, these are not new things that we're going to talk about, but they're things that kind of lurked or existed in the shadows, right? Schooling in general sort of produced these two categories of like, hey, you smart kids are going off to college. And all the rest of y'all, even though we know on busted pencils and all you listeners know, this is not true that the people who didn't go to college aren't smart, but it's sort of sorted people. Like you did good on grades and being in school and following rules, you're going to do well and go on to college. And then it did a real number on our communities in sorting people into sort of folks who thought they were really good at a lot of stuff, right? And then people who identified as, well, I'm not smart. And we kind of, for a number of decades, have sort of grouped the trades into that backup plan or that sort of sorting mechanism of the people who identify themselves or schools have labeled long enough that they internalize those ideas, the non-smart folks, the skilled labor trade, which is couldn't be further from the truth. Every listener I know listening to Civic Media knows a whole lot of smart people who gained their experience in apprenticeships, in mentoring relationships, on the job, and some of them through skill trade programs, and some through just entering the workforce. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I like us to emphasize those pathways, Tim. It's like higher ed can be and should be, and in many cases has been in the community college context and in our state colleges and things, land grant institutions. Come on, you've supposedly been supposed to be doing that, but not always. They've drifted into that research race sort of idea of who's the smartest, who's the biggest, best, and baddest, most. And when I say baddest, sometimes I mean best football or basketball team or best campus to party on. Hey, that four-year pattern of the past isn't what most kids in this country are choosing right now. And that's an awakening, right, Tim? And we've said here, we've had past shows to we could go back to. If you want to loop back around and look at the podcast, you can grab some past class and sessions where we've talked about the changing landscape of higher ed. And so that's kind of what I was excited about when Jacob sent this. It's like, hey, this is a great example of some of the unique and creative ways. I want to say states and state schools have been doing this kind of thing, but we got to feature it more.
Yeah.
Because as Jacob pointed out, you know, him and I talked about it on this week's homeroom. Kids these days, and I don't say that like the old guy, get off my lawn. Kids these days are saying, hey, I'm not sure what comes next. Yeah. And we've done a bad job, us grown folks have done a bad job of saying, hey, you have before you a cornucopia of options, right? And this is one of those options. I know certainly as a young person, someone interested in wood and trees and forestry would have seen a program like this and been like, you mean I can do that as a career? So let's stop burying the lead. Let's talk about this awesome program. So our listener knows what the heck it is we're excited about.
We're excited about this because Jacob brought it to us, and particularly too, as he said, you know, if you're familiar with Wisconsin, then you know particularly what the Northwoods of Wisconsin.
A lot of trees.
I know a lot of people are like, it's a great place to go to the lakes. Yes, it's a great place to go to the lakes. But understand that the great, you know, upper north part of Wisconsin has and still is, Johnny, as you said, you know, the lumber industry, forest industry, and way up there, Antigo schools first in the nation training sawmill readies students for the lumber industry. And this comes out of the Wisconsin Watch. And just a little caption here, it says, here you can look at it, a sawmill at North Central Technical College's Antigo campus is going to be a teaching tool for Northern Wisconsin students. And you go through this piece and you look at it, and here it is again, who knew, right? Well, the people doing this work have always known, but I think coming what you just said, kids these days, hey, did they know about this? Were they able to access it? How good were we at pointing this out? Or maybe potentially too, is this also just a new opportunity itself? Because when I look at this and start thinking about this, I can just imagine somebody saying, so you're going to teach kids to saw boards. That's what you're telling me, Tim and Jacob and Johnny. You're going to, you know, I mean, really, do they need? No. This is not. Yeah, we say sawmill. I'm just thinking, you know, the picture, somebody's going, oh, we're going to teach kids, you know, how to hit go on a saw, you know, and hopefully we're going to teach them not to put, you know, extremities near the blades and things like that. And then they're good. But no, this is high tech. This is high tech. And realizing there, this whole idea of what we're a blue collar job, the skill set and the education that goes into working these types of jobs is a pretty rich, deep understanding, because it ain't just putting a law on a table and running it through a saw and saying, here's your board, go sell it. This has everything to do with selection. And I know people in forestry and lumbering know this. What is the type of wood? Where do you cut it? How much do you cut? What parts shouldn't you cut? Where is it doing? How do you make those decisions? That's changing with the technology that we have today. And, you know, from my side, I really kind of like this sense of saying, hey, guess what? AI is part of the future of logging and sawmilling, I could see Johnny and Jacob going, oh God, here he goes.
Yeah, here he goes with this. Well, because Tim, here's the thing. AI only knows as much as it knows. And the industry knowledge, that's what I want to highlight here. We're talking about a humbling moment for higher education in general, where you think about, well, I know a lot about Plato and Socrates, and that's all great too. But that's not better knowledge. Mm-mm. It's not more important or more valuable than what an arborist knows, or somebody in forestry, or what we might even identify or call as lumberjacks, right? The guys and gals out there who are intimately connected to stacks of trees, who understand the lay of forests, who really, you know, understand, we can even call it blue collar knowledge. Mm-hmm. I mean, everybody listening in the Great North up in Wisconsin knows this. They can tell you what each tree is. And we have those certain passions and affinity growing up. We're like, hey man, I want to work with trees. I want to work with lumber. It's a major, right, resource,
right,
that goes into so many things. And like you said, Tim, there's science involved. And that's not something that only universities know about.
Exactly.
But it's this unique partnership between what I'll call that blue collar knowledge, or that local knowledge, right? That deep connection to how forests work. What's healthy forests? What's a good tree? What kind of cuts can we get out of a certain tree? How many trees should we cut down? How many trees should we replant? What are those forest management systems? What's the entrepreneurial aspect? So as I'm learning about this, you know, this trade, this important service, I'm also picking up skills of how to have a small business, you know, how to participate in my, I'll call it somewhat local economy, even though it will probably export things. It's still strengthening our local economy. It's bringing industry closer to us. And you know what, Tim, anytime you bring decisions closer to the people making decisions, call that democracy. And that's what we live in, is a democracy. So love this program, man. Love how you and Jacob are situating it as, you know, local knowledge, as blue collar scholarship. And that's not throwing the science out, because that's where your AI piece comes in.
Well, Johnny,
I'm going to joke about AI, because I mean, like, what does AI know about trees? But I think when I looked into it, the advanced technology,
right,
like the change in the industry, how a full tree cut can come in and be scanned, you know, and they can scan for knots and different cuts, and the ways that technology can help assist that trade. Because like almost every industry, Tim, technology is changing how we interact with that industry. So we talked about it years ago when AI first started popping up, about the drum machine, right? And the calculator. And this is certainly more advanced. I think looking back at history, it'll go down as one of those innovations, like the printing press, right? Or the steam engine, or the light bulb. We'll talk about it in future generations, about, like, remember when AI was invented, right? But it is changing every industry, from making music and art to cutting wood.
Well, Johnny, and the thing is too, let's be on a little bit more details of the program. You're talking about science. I mean, this is actually part of a wood sciences program.
Yeah.
Wood sciences. This comes through a $4.5 million grant out of a workforce innovation grant from the University of Wisconsin Stevens Point and Wisconsin Forestry Center. So here, you know, again, the connection to higher education, there it is. There's the partnership. There's what we're working on. It's wood sciences. And as you said too, this isn't an AI, you know, coming in. It's using artificial intelligence to assist in, and in fact enhance what it is that you're doing in a sawmill. I just like the way this positions, where I'm seeing, you know, the if you remember this show, Johnny, I don't know, this might be dating me, but the Waltons and John Boy, their family owned a sawmill, and this is like set in the, you know, the early 20th century, and the machines that they were using to cut those boards. I think when people have a sense of a sawmill, it becomes this really, you know, kind of labor saw pushing things through, you know, sawdust flying in the air. Not to say that that isn't happening, but that when you incorporate, and in fact, now look, in 2025, what is it that goes into literally that board that is going to be potentially used in a construction of your house, is to realize what goes into that. And Johnny, I got my firsthand look at some quote, the wood sciences. I said, one of the places I visited recently here in Pennsylvania, I was down in Pittsburgh and visiting the apprentice program for all of the carpenters in Pennsylvania, Ohio, a little bit of northern New York, and down into West Virginia. And, you know, one of the areas of education is the gluing and putting together of wood products to create industrial strength beams of which you can set, you know, enormous amounts of weight on. And I think even that concept of people thinking, you know, a beam, you know, that's one solid piece of cut wood. And the reality is that the science here of taking different woods, gluing them together, putting together, you actually make a structurally even more, you know, stronger beam. And so all of that, you say, the education that goes into, okay, this isn't, again, somebody hitting go on the saw. Here we give this. And Johnny, let's really hit though too, and you were pointing this out, because this gives that opportunity here in the North Woods of Wisconsin to keep people home in their local communities. In other words, the brain drain typically that results when we talk about higher education. And I had this conversation with, I remember somebody in Appalachia, Ohio, when I was in Ohio. He said, the problem we have with, you know, all of these workforce programs is that it gets our kids educated and then they leave our struggling Appalachian community. And here, this actually sets up students and families to stay put, or students to stay and raise a family, continuing that long tradition of putting together a culture in the North Woods that is worth something. That, and you say, Johnny, in democracy, we need our rural communities and we need them thriving. And I see this as an opportunity for thriving here. That's, you know, there's my long-winded.
Well, yeah, Tim, it's reversing the discourse, right? It's changing the language around, well, you're a failure unless you go to, you know, the University of Wisconsin-Madison. And nothing against kids that go there, right? It's this way in every state around our country. It's like, it's changing the language around. There are a multitude of ways that you can choose your pathway that don't relocate you. You have the option to relocate,
sure,
but that you can stay and contribute to your local economy, be the change you want to see in the world. And that's, I see that happening in our rural communities. I see that happening, especially in states that invest in these kinds of, like you mentioned it, brain drain programs. That's the nerd lingo and the policy. And the, when we mark funding for these kinds of things, we talk about how states invest in their diverse communities and how they prevent a brain drain. That's i.e. people get educated and move. And that sets up a real dichotomy, right? When we have that idea, that's why I'm emphasizing change the language. When we have that idea that success is tied to moving somewhere, quote unquote, better. I'm throwing up the scare quotes for people who are seeing us on YouTube. You see that, but listener, just imagine I'm throwing up big scare quotes that you do better by leaving, right? And by pathway of education. So your success moves you away, which the default of that is then it's somehow seen as a failure to be in a rural community or, you know, a less thriving economy. It's like, it sets people up for a false future. And it really sets us up similar to how I said schools sort people.
Yeah.
They've also have a history of imposing these kinds of labels on our community. So I like when it shifts the language around what's the local knowledges and the creative industries that are opportunities for people from all over to come to Wisconsin and do, or for even better, kids in Wisconsin, or you don't even have to be a kid, right? Be an interested person in Wisconsin to this kind of continued education towards your career pathway. Man, I'm near and dear to this. I have a close friend, man, who was in and out of school. Maybe we can even get him on here now because he's a furniture maker.
Okay.
And he sought out a program similar to this because smart guy, right? We plumbed together. We worked together. And he's always said, you know, school just doesn't interest him because he wants to build furniture until he found a program that was furniture building, woodworking, wood classes, wood science. Like you said, Tim, it reminded me of him because we had many beers talking about gluing, like the power of gluing different boards together. And he would say, yeah, that's strong. Like you make these beams or you make these support joists by gluing these boards together. I was like, just regular old wood glue? He's like, well, kind of. He was like, you know, it's you gotta know what you're doing. It's not just go to Home Depot, grab some boards and slap them together with some Elmers, you know? So there is a whole knowledge of in that industry that programs impart on interested people, which makes us all stronger, makes our economy stronger. So Tim, I like that we're switching the language away from that, you know, be successful, move on and out.
Right.
To find what you're passionate about, what you're interested in, and that higher education is learning to meet those interests and needs with relevant knowledge to the workforce, which everybody benefits from. Now, the only flip side of this, Tim, and I love this program, I looked into it, there's a lot of assistance for tuition, and there's a lot of opportunity for this to also be good return on investment. Mm-hmm. So that's my little plug at higher ed to say, hey, also remember, as part of this, it shouldn't cost people their entire lifetime, you know, 20% of their lifetime's earnings,
right,
to get there. So I like when it's affordable, it's accessible, and it's aligned to the many different passions and local knowledges that communities have. I mean, I couldn't think of anything more democratic or embellic, or what's that word?
Emblematic.
Emblematic of this country, right? So what a patriotic contribution on the week of
our
country's birthday, baby. I'm a big 4th of July fan. Let's go. Let's go. It's going to be a good one. So a little preview. Hopefully you're getting ready for the birthday.
Well, if they're listening to this on Wednesday, when they should be, one more day, and it will be that day, July 4th. I love this too. Johnny, I just, again, thinking of this program, it just reminds me of my time in Wisconsin, and I spent a lot of time up in Hayward, Wisconsin, and I'm sure Jacob knows this. It's where, you kind of said this early in the program, Johnny, it's where the National Lumberjack Competition is held, and I was actually up there one time doing some partnership work with the Lakotere, the Ojibwe Nation up there, and got to stop in and see some of the lumberjacking competition. So Jacob, chairman of the board, thank you for bringing a classes in session to Johnny and I so that we could really learn something. Jacob, thank you, my friend.
Well, Tim, thank you for giving me the opportunity. I know that you guys love Wisconsin as much as I do, but because I'm actually here in the state with my ear to the streets, I pick up on these little stories like this, and I just saw this and I thought, man, this has Tim and Johnny written all over it.
Yeah, in this case, your ears to the roots.
Ears to the roots.
Exactly.
But keep your ear away from that saw blade, Jacob.
Yeah.
I will. Next time, I will. I've got headphones on. You can't see, but I might start painting.
And now it's time for your moment of zen. It is the citizenry rather than the government that is the ultimate source of power and the locomotive that pulls the train of government.
Choo-choo! It's the locomotive of the government. It's the democracy. Hey, but this is Busted Pencils, and thank you for listening to today's class in session. And if you want to grab more Busted Pencils podcasts, well, just head on over to Apple, Spotify, or you can always get at us at civicmedia.com or find us on our website, bustedpencils.com. And listen, pencil busters, you can always find great Busted Pencils content like today's show on Mondays for Homeroom, Wednesdays for Class in Session, and Fridays for Producer Jacob's Choice. And of course, you can always tune in and listen to the Busted Pencils weekend broadcast on Saturdays at 3 p.m. Central Time across all the civic media networks for 1 hour of your favorite blue-collar scholars, Tim and Johnny, and Keep Busted Pencils.